Most of you here today know that my last name is Christian. That's really my family name. That's not a religious name that I chose somewhere along the line. Somewhere back in the 1800s, up in Quebec someplace, there was somebody who was known as Pierre le Chrétien, Pierre the Christian. That was, you know, normal to name people by their trade or by their whatever. For example, you know the name Boulanger in French. That means baker. So somebody was known as Paul the Boulanger, Paul the baker. So Pierre the Christian, my name's Christian. But I'll tell you this, if I had $1 for every time somebody said to me over the years, "Christian, is that your real name, or did you choose that for yourself?" Or rather, "Christian, isn't that appropriate? You must have been fated to be a priest." If I had a dollar for every time somebody said something like that, I could pay for the whole redecoration project myself. But every time that's been said to me, it's caused me to reflect a little bit on that term we take so much for granted, Christian. We're Catholic Christians. You know that the term Christian is only found in the New Testament three times. It's only found three times. The first time is in the Acts of the Apostles, that early history of the church that St. Paul wrote. And he tells us in chapter 12 that it was in Antioch in Turkey that the disciples of Jesus were first called Christians. And they were called that not by themselves, but by the people around them, the pagan peoples, began calling them Christians. Later on in the Acts, Paul is arrested, one of the many times he's arrested. He's appearing in court. He's defending himself, talking about Christ. And all of a sudden, the king of the area, Agrippa, stands up and mocks Paul. He mocks him and he says, stop your preaching. You're turning me into a Christian. The last time in the New Testament that this term is found is in today's second reading in the letter of St. Peter. St. Peter says to us, we should not be upset to be persecuted as Christians. Well, the only three times the term Christian is found in the New Testament. Because the early disciples of the Lord called themselves something else. They called themselves the followers of the way. That's how they defined themselves. The followers of the way of Jesus. Remember, Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." That's what they called themselves, the followers of the way, his way. I kind of like that term for this reason. It's dynamic. It indicates a path we have to follow, choices we have to make, things we have to do. Now, the word Christian itself, good as it is, can be kind of a static term. It makes us think about the creeds, the dogmas, all those things which are very important, are essential. But we can kind of think about, you know, Christianity as a series of statements, beliefs, truths. Well, it is that, but those statements and truths and beliefs have to be put into action. Followers of the way of Jesus. Things we must do. Jesus himself made that very clear. Remember the time in the scripture where the young lawyer comes to him and he says to him, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Well, keep the commandments. Do, carry out the commandments." The young man says, "Well, I've done that." Jesus says, "Well, then sell everything you have and come, follow me. Follow me, walk my way." Or again, remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. Those people pass by on the road, the man has been beaten up, finally the Samaritan stops and takes care of him. At the end of the parable, what does Jesus say to those listening to him? He says, "Who was neighbor to the man who fell in with the robbers?" They say, of course, well, the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus says, you go and do likewise. Followers of the way, we must do our faith. Can't just believe, we must do it, carry it out. I'll give you a couple of examples. What that might look like, or not look like, as the case may be. I was reading something recently about these companies that, you know, produce the e-cigarettes, you know, the vaping things. You know, most scientists and people who doctors say vaping is very bad for teenagers. Lots of nicotine, lots of other chemicals that get into their system affect their brains. And yet these e-cigarette companies advertise as much as they can on social media, try to make vaping look seductive, sophisticated, sexy. They put on music, help become sponsors of big music festivals, trying to get young people to vape. But here's the point. Suppose you are a Christian executive of one of those companies. You're a follower of the way, allegedly. How could you try to get young people to vape, knowing it's harmful to them? How could you put profit ahead of people? But they do it all the time. People do it all the time. Call ourselves Christian followers of the way, but then money becomes more important than people's welfare. See, that can't be. Maybe make it more personal, something more personal to us. Think about that last judgment scene in the Gospel of St. Matthew. Jesus is dividing up the sheep and the goats at the end of time. What is the dividing line? What is it that causes some people to be chosen and some to be rejected? What is it? Remember? It's not what they claim to believe. What they did. Remember, Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. It doesn't say, I was hungry and you prayed for me. It doesn't say, I was hungry and you felt bad for me. I was hungry and you lamented the structures of society that make some people remain poor. It's not what he says. I was hungry and you gave me to eat. You put food in my mouth. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. It's what they did. It's what they did. So maybe this morning we might ask ourselves, as honestly as we can, when is the last time you put food in somebody's mouth who was hungry? When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you put a shirt on the back of somebody who had no clothes? When'd you do that? Did you bring something for the brown bag Sunday today? If you don't do that, that's fine. But where do you put food in the mouths of the hungry? Doesn't Jesus say, I was hungry and you gave me to eat? Welcome into the kingdom. I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. You go the other way. See, it's easy to say we're followers of Jesus, but we have to live out what that means. Followers of the way. We walk a certain way. In his letter, St. James says, be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Doers of the word. Let me conclude with it. Scene from that wonderful Broadway musical, Les Miserables, movie as well. You remember that musical based on the book by Victor Hugo. This tells the story of a man, Jean Valjean, who's arrested as a young man for stealing a piece of bread. He escapes from prison. He's given help by a sympathetic bishop, as it turns out. and ultimately changes his life and becomes a very respected man, living a second life. Nobody knows who he really is. Very successful businessman, very good Christian man. Toward the end of the show, remember the scene, somebody is arrested for being him. The police have been looking for him for all these years, and finally they arrest a man they think is him. There's the dilemma for him. These are the powerful words he speaks. He says, if I confess, I will be condemned. If I do not confess, I will be damned. If I admit that this man's not Jean Valjean, that I am, I'll go to prison. If I don't admit that and let this man go to prison in my place, I risk losing my soul. If I speak, I am condemned. If I do not speak, I am damned. Followers of the way, what we do. Let's pray today that you and I might truly be followers of the way. May God bless you.